The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, with you off and running in the 2014 Sports360AZ.com. Hope you had yourself a great holiday. On the program today, Kevin Harlan, CBS Westwood One NFL broadcaster. Saints-Eagles game from Saturday night is the one that Kevin did, one of the best in the business. We'll talk about the NFL playoffs, wild card weekend, and now the divisional matchups. Paula Bovin, news and notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Her thoughts on the big weekend. Rich Rodriguez rumors, maybe heading elsewhere. Brad Edwards is going to join us from Pasadena, ESPN's BCS guru. Thoughts on the BCS season, expectations tonight, the national title game that we have between Florida State and Auburn. Busy, busy show ahead. The gang is all back in town. We have chairman of the board, Jared Nielsen. Screws. I was thinking of Screws. I had to think of Screws for a second. I was looking over. He was like, Screws. That was the nickname. And then, of course, senior executive vice president of everything, Eric Sorensen, back in the house. Jared Cohen as well. Did you have a swell holiday season there, E?
It was swell.
Yeah.
It was swell. It was good to detox a little bit from sports, but bigger, better things coming in 2014, so we're excited to get off and running.
How can you detox? What do you mean? You mean you mailed it in?
I didn't mail it in.
Right?
I just stepped back.
Yeah.
I just tried to step away a little bit, you know?
I did not. You know, I sleep with a girl that wears a Philip Rivers jersey to bed every night, so I had to put up with that nonsense yesterday with the Chargers, and I was hopeful that they would lose and it would be over with, but no, that
didn't
happen.
Well, Andy Dalton decided to give you a late Christmas gift.
Whew,
so,
man, he's not good.
No.
He's not good.
No, he's what you could call a regular season quarterback.
Yeah, so... Well, and look, there's in the great state of Arizona, you may be saying, well, college football's over, pro football's over. No, there's a ton going on. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind, some of the things going on in the world of sports. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains just outside of Pine Top. The Honda Resort and Casino, they have the winter games that are coming up here. Before you know it, it's a big part of what they do at the Honda Resort and Casino, one of the great events in our state, the Winter Games, Winter Festival. All the details at Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino, they've been a part of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com since day number one, rolling on in to our third year. We have our Facebook question of the day to get us going. Eric has been working feverishly on that. It involves Rich Rodriguez. He, as of yet, he has not said that he is leaving or staying, but Rich Rodriguez, I think in state, this is the top story in the state. I know the playoffs. We'll get to the NFL playoffs in a second.
Sure.
This is the big story in state.
Yeah, over the weekend, and you wrote about it on Sports360AZ.com, reports circulating now that Charlie Strong has made his way to Austin to take over from Mack Brown, that Rich Rodriguez could be at the top of the Louisville head coaching search. So today, on Facebook, we ask you, very simple, true or false, Louisville is a better football job than U of A?
Well, here's a couple things. So the ASU nitwits out there, they are like, oh, we want Rich Rod to stay because we've been able to dominate him. Let me fill you in on something. Over the weekend, U of A landed one of the top 40 kids in the country out of Washington, D.C. He's stockpiled a bunch of kids that sat out this year, Devontae Neal, Connor Brewer, some others that weren't eligible. I know that U of A drilled, or that ASU drilled them this year, but to think that they're just going to be sitting down in Tucson and doing nothing, really, and not being able to move forward, you're kidding yourselves.
He's done a good job down there. The program is light years ahead of where it was when took over 2 years ago, just like what Todd Graham has done at ASU.
I mean, is Louisville a better job? Okay, so... they're going into the ACC in 2014. The ACC, you look at it top to bottom, and you know, Florida State clearly is the elite of it. Duke has done a nice job. Duke's done a very good job. There's more corporate support. I believe it's Papa John's or one of the pizzas is headquartered out of Louisville.
Yep, they play in Papa John's Stadium, or at least
yeah,
they
there's
did
a lot the last of money floating around out there. A lot of pizza floating around. So if you have if you have this environment where you corporately are being given the opportunity to win, in the Pac-12 conference, you're not going to get the top players. you're just not going to get the top players out of Los Angeles and Southern California every year. You're occasionally going to land a kid like they did over in Washington, D.C. You look at the Pac-12 South, between UCLA, USC, ASU, that's really tough sledding every year for you to try to be the first one. Nobody's ever been able to break through at the U of A to go to a Rose Bowl. It has yet to happen. So for all you U of A football fans who love your program, and that's great, I'm not banging on you. It's just, here's a matter of fact. I think Louisville's a better job. I do, and I'm sure that it's going to pay better.
Exactly. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I was waiting for you to get to it. Charlie Strong made almost double what Rich Rod made last year at U of A. And if it all comes down to dollars and cents, then, yeah, he'd be in for a hefty pay hike.
Now, Charlie Strong was 37-15 at four seasons at Louisville. And that's getting it done. And what do you have to compete with in Kentucky? Think about this. Is Kentucky football ever good? No, they don't care. They care about horses running in circles, and they care about their basketball program. That's it. Football's just kind of sort of something there. I think for Rich Rod, he has $1 million buyout at the end of this coming season. $1 million, that's nothing. That's a few pizzas. So it would make sense. He has yet to come out. Some of you U of A guys are nailing me on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, saying, oh, you know, you're behind on this story. It broke 24 hours. No, it's been out there. It's just now it's the point where it's picked up more steam. And is he at a spot where he's going to say, guys, I'm not going anywhere. I don't want my recruiting class to be impacted by all these rumors. So it's your Facebook question of the day. We'll talk more about this later on with Paula Bovin in our news and notes segment. That's over at facebook.com/sports360AZ. Like our page, share your input, facebook.com/sports360AZ. The other big story in state right now is Brett Hundley, the quarterback at UCLA out of Chandler High School. So this kid tore it up at Chandler High. Today is his announcement whether he's going to turn pro or not. We believe he's going to stay at UCLA. He's actually stepped to the podium at UCLA. Let's bring you some of that here and find out what he has to say.
I talked to Jonathan Franklin, and he helped me out a lot. And I think another reason was also getting my degree. On this kind of school, and to walk out of here with a degree is something that I really want to do. So, you know, and also just to be able to play with my friends. I mean, just talking to them and talking to a couple players, I think, and also Coach Moore, I think there's a lot of things that you can get just from playing in this type of experience, talking to Dayton and Jonathan. You know, when you go to that next level, it's different than just you know, having that brotherhood. You know, everybody has families, and, you know, after practice, you're going on to yourself and you're doing your own thing. But in college, you start to understand what a brotherhood is really about. And I think that's something I really don't feel like I want to leave yet. And just to be able to get my degree and come back and play another year. So I would like to announce that I'm not going to the draft, and I'm staying another year here at UCLA. And
that's Brett Hundley. And so you just heard the announcement live here on Sports 360 AZ. Chandler High School was figured to be a top 15 pick in the draft, decides to stay at UCLA for another year. So if you're an Arizona State Sun Devil fan, wah, wah, wah. Although UCLA, I know what happened this year at the Rose Bowl. So now the schedule for ASU next year, you have Notre Dame coming here and you have UCLA coming here with Brett Hundley. That's pretty good. We'll get more to that in the BCS title game as we move along. Kevin Harlan here in about 5 minutes on the NFL playoffs. And what he saw yesterday and on Saturday, he was actually at the Philadelphia game against the Saints. The Saints actually figured out how to play outdoors. Nobody thought that that was humanly possible. They were just going to go out there and freeze and turn into snowmen, I guess. So we'll talk in a couple of minutes with Kevin Harlan about that and what happened on that game. A couple things in state. The Suns are going to sign Leandro Barbosa back today. The Suns open a road trip at Chicago tomorrow night. Eric Bledsoe's out another week. I've got to start using the Suns a little bit more in this show, and it's going to be hard for me to do so because for the last 2 years, all I've done is made fun of them. All I've done is rip them to shreds. All I've done is crush them. But now it's, hey, they actually have 20 wins. They have 20 wins already. Who would have thought that? And they go on a road trip against some teams that are beatable. The Bulls do not have Derrick Rose. So there's that going on. The Coyotes blew a golden opportunity over the weekend to make some hay. They had Philadelphia down. They ended up losing a two-goal lead twice. They'll host Calgary. That'll be tomorrow night. Masahiro Tanaka and the Diamondbacks, there's some news on that front. The Japanese pitcher, that story, they're right in the middle of this, the Diamondbacks are. 24-0 last year for Tanaka. Landing him and taking him away from one of these other teams would be a huge push for this organization. I'll talk more about that. And some other things in my mind as well around the state of Arizona. But up next, we talk NFL playoffs. Kevin Harlan will be with us. Play-by-play voice for Westwood One, CBS, called the Saints-Eagles game, one of the best in the business. He's next. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. Great to be on White Mountain Radio.
From 32 yards out, this for the win. Pressure to snap. McCown puts it down. Graham has it on its way. Send us to Seattle, Shane.
Yes.
You've done it from 32 yards out. Your fourth field goal of the night.
Around the National Football League, Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ, rolling quite along on a busy, busy Monday. Paula Bova, news and notes at the bottom of the hour. Next hour, we'll go out to the BCS title game. As always, Brad Edwards, ESPN's BCS guru, will be joining us as we do quite a bit with Brad Edwards and ESPN. Always good to have him on board. Busy week here in the Valley and across the state. The Rich Rod story maybe to Louisville. The Suns on the road trip. The Diamondbacks pursuing Tanaka. Quite a bit going on with U of A number one in college basketball playing at UCLA. But I want to get over to the NFL playoffs for a couple of minutes. In front and center, Kevin Harlan was right in the middle of it. Always good to catch up with Kevin, CBS Westwood One, NFL lead broadcaster on the broadcast of the Saints-Eagles game Saturday night in Philadelphia. That was a game that Kevin flew into and the Saints had no chance. They shouldn't have taken a bus because they were outdoors and they didn't know how to win in the cold. At least that was the national storyline. They actually knew how to win in the cold, and now they go on to Seattle. How are you, Kevin?
Brad, good morning. Doing great. And it was cold, but the wind was not a factor. I think that in all these venues, the players, and I worked with Boomer Esiason in that game, and as he was saying, and then talked with several people in the press box, certainly in Philadelphia, and it was packed with national writers and certainly a lot of scouts that are watching these two teams closely. But it's always the wind. It's always about the wind. The cold these guys can deal with, when the wind and the cold are combined, that's when it's tough. And it was a windless night. There was no severe bite to the cold. And then I think that really helped Breeze. I really do. I think it helped that offense. And sure enough, they were able to kind of put things together. They got things when they needed it during the game on offense and defense. And, of course, you heard the game-winning kick right there. So it all worked for them. And they're off to Seattle where they got crushed 5 weeks ago against the Seahawks. That should be a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, what do you make out of these games where a team plays a team 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 weeks earlier? Now they're in the postseason. Is there a decided advantage?
I think that maybe with Seattle and New Orleans, no. Although they do have that familiarity because a little bit more than a month ago they met, and it was a 34-7 dismantling of the Saints by Seattle. And Seattle, by the way, did not let up on the pedal at all. I mean, they were full throttle the entire game, something that Sean Payton, after the game, told his team to remember because they really kind of put their face in it. The Seahawks did to the Saints on that Monday night. I think when you've got a Denver-San Diego game, which I think is the game of the weekend, and coincidentally, I'm doing it, so I guess I got to feel that way. I think there's a lot more there. Familiarity, divisional teams. This will be the third game they've played. San Diego has won in Denver on a Thursday night not too long ago. They played close in San Diego not too much before that. I think that if you're within the division, there's a lot more to be concerned about. Outside the division, like the Saints and the Seahawks are, familiar, yes. Comfortable with knowing what's going on, no. And I think the Saints will come up there with a few more things. In that game, you may recall, Russell and I did that game. It was a Monday night game. We did that game as well. There was a lot of time for Wilson. The defense of the Saints did not put much on Wilson pressure-wise. That's got to change. And on the opposite side, Breeze has got to have more time. And that's got to change for the Saints. They've got to protect their quarterback. It's a proven fact. When Breeze is given time to throw, he's like Manning. He'll hit him. And that's it's going to be line play, really. It's going to be, I think, such a huge part of that Seattle and New Orleans game this weekend.
Kevin Harlan, CBS Westwood One, NFL broadcaster with Brad Sussmatch for a couple of minutes, breaking down the games from the weekend. How about teams with a bye week and sitting around and waiting? I got to believe, like in the Carolina-San Francisco game, I feel very strongly that San Francisco is the team with momentum while Carolina is sitting around. You talked about the Chargers now having some momentum, having already won at Denver. Is it good to have a bye week now? We just seen the NFL evolve to where if you get hot as a wild card team, you don't need a week off. It actually hurts you to be sitting around.
Well, Brad, you've covered it for years. You know this league as well as anybody. I think you need to play. And I think home field doesn't mean nearly as much as it once did. If you look at, you know, what, seven of the last eight rounds of the playoffs, years of the playoffs, we've had a lot of wild card teams go on to the Super Bowl. Six wild card winners, in fact, over the last, I think, 8 years. Rarely does a number one or a number two seed, you know, find that off week, and even home field has paid the kind of dividend that we all would like to think it would. It just hasn't. Denver last year, number one seed, week off, losing to Baltimore. Year before that, the Giants, they went to Green Bay, won. They went to San Francisco, won. Last year, Baltimore goes to Denver, wins. Baltimore goes to New England, wins, and then they win the Super Bowl. So I think right now, being a number one seed, having an off week, playing at home, I don't know if those things are as instrumental as they once were. And why they were then, for the obvious reasons. And why they aren't now, I don't know what I can tell you. I think this is one of many spokes in the wheel. I think players love routine. I think players love the same Monday, the same Tuesday, and right on through the week. They know it at Wednesday at 4 o'clock where they are. They know Thursday at 6 in the morning where they are. They want routine, and it is not broken up by an off week. And I think sometimes when you go on the road, and you know, teams will tell you this, the good, solid organizations will say this. He says, it's a business trip. There aren't, you know, family members for distraction. There aren't things to do at home. There's not the buddy or two that'll always come over and play video games. You know, it's kind of like, we're in this together. We're traveling on a business trip. Let's have a little formality, which they do. And I think some of those things, those aesthetic things, are really important things. And I think that's what's going to help some of these teams that played this past weekend. I think they just stay right in routine what they did. They ended the regular season. They did the same thing Monday right on through the week, and they did it this past weekend, and they won, and they'll do the same thing this week heading to this weekend's games.
And I think, to follow your point, regular season, I didn't think many of the Thursday night games were very good aesthetically to watch, to your point, that, okay, let's cram another game in here and see how we can put it together. And so I do buy into what you're saying 100%, that the routine aspect of it does factor in.
I think those Thursday games, while they make a bunch of money, and I guess they're going to make more because it looks like they're going to open up half of that package and offer it to another partner or an existing partner's cable side.
Yeah.
Players don't like them. It screws up the week.
Yep.
If you had the one Thursday a season, which has been Thanksgiving, and I think teams can navigate that. The league can navigate that, especially the two teams that are hosting Detroit and Dallas. They know every year that's just part of the deal. That's what's going to make these international games interesting and have made them interesting, is because the travel, the changing culture, just all of it that is involved in playing in London. Again, these are business decisions. These aren't game quality of game decisions. These are business money decisions. And I have always thought that when you get out of your footprint, which is what the league does on these Thursday games and on these overseas games, I always think you're causing more of a wave than a ripple. I understand the business side. That's the reason why the league is where it is. It's been built up to kind of put. But the game is the ultimate reason why it is where it is. And I think when you start fiddling with that, you're starting to really you're dealing with money, and sometimes, unfortunately, that's going to rule over the game itself. So I like your point. That Thursday game has always been kind of a real problem with players and coaches.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Kevin Harlan, before I let you go, you look at these four games, Is there a player that you are looking at as a broadcaster that's been in the booth, TV, radio, that you're saying to yourself, I really need to see something out of this person? I think everybody wanted to see Andy Dalton take a step forward, and he didn't do that at all. Of these remaining teams, who's a player or team or coach that you're very intrigued by?
Well, I'll go very quickly. I think for San Diego, it's Phillip Rivers. I think Phillip Rivers is right in back of Peyton Manning in the regular season in so many big statistical categories. He has had this renaissance. He was an elite quarterback for so many years. Then he fell off the map here a little bit, off the grid with some ordinary teams. Rivers has got to play so well. Ryan Matthews, the running back, has been huge. Denver, I think we know the cast of characters there. I think defensively somebody's got to be in there and do something. I don't know who it's going to be. With Von Miller gone, Dumervil's been gone all season. The defense has been kind of searching for that guy. I don't know if that guy has stepped up, but that guy has got to step up beginning this weekend and right on through their trip if they make it all the way to New Jersey and New York. For New Orleans, I think it's got to be the offensive line collectively protecting Breeze, and defensively, it's got to be a guy like Akeem Hicks on that defensive line for the Saints. And mm-hmm. I think for Seattle, we know Marshawn Lynch is probably the heart and soul of that team. If he plays well, he would be must-watch football for me. New England, there's so many no-name players. I don't know who you pick because it's always a different guy. But it seems to me like the Tlaib T.Y. Hilton matchup becomes a pretty significant one. We know the Colts really can't run it. I think the quarterbacks always take their normal stand, and they're just kind of a given. They've got to play well. But that receiver, in the absence of Reggie Wayne for the Colts, has been T.Y. Hilton. He has emerged with an average of about 9 catches and 130 yards a game over the last month and a half, as long as Wayne has been gone. He's got to be very, very big. And then for San Francisco, Carolina, I'll say for the Carolina Panthers, the rush on Kaepernick's got to be huge, and I think Frank Gore continues to play a big role for San Francisco. But you know what? There are so many great individual stories, so many great team stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a wonderful collection of teams and games we've got coming up this weekend. This, to me, is this divisional weekend. I think this is my favorite weekend of the NFL season. I love championship weekend. Everyone loves the Super Bowl. This weekend, you get such a wide variety. It's a buffet of different kinds of teams, philosophies, and stars. This is the weekend to really sink your teeth into, and I can't wait to.
And you get to sink your teeth into an Oklahoma City-Denver basketball game in between. So, I mean, you've got a full plate ahead of you.
We'll be buckled up. We'll be ready to go. And then I got a Kentucky game on Kentucky-Vanderbilt game for CBS on Saturday. So we're going to say we're getting a lot of different venues, a lot of different sports, levels of sports. But at the end of the day, you feel lucky to be a part of some of it.
Stay well, Kevin. Thanks as always.
Great, Brad. Take care. Happy New Year.
You as well. Kevin Harlan there, CBS Westwood One, NFL broadcaster, a man of many talents, many networks, does an awful lot and does it well. Appreciate his time. On the other side, news and notes, Paula Bovin, Rich Rodriguez. Does it make sense for him to leave the U of A for Louisville? And other news and notes as well, as we do every week with my friend, Paula Bovin. That's next. Brad Sussmad with you in hour number two. Brad Edwards, ESPN BCS guru, live from Pasadena. Tonight, it's Florida State Auburn. One of the best with ESPN joins me in hour number two. Stay with us.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmad.
Every week, Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend. She jumps on board on a night of the national title game. Who do you have tonight, Auburn, Florida State?
I have Florida State.
By a long shot, long ways, blowout city, what do you think?
You know, after this bowl season, Brad, I'm not making any real strong predictions about anything because I'm missing on a bunch of games. But I have them winning by a little bit. I'm just impressed with what they've done this season, all the great athletes they have on that team, and I just think they're going to win.
I think they do have the better athletes. There's Auburn's a bunch of big dudes, and
yeah,
they've had some
which,
luck.
You know, it's not a bad thing by any stretch, but I think in this kind of a matchup, I think it's the athletes are going to prevail.
This is the end of the BCS. Are you happy that this is it tonight? Over, done, finished. See you later. Never again.
I'm so happy. I'm going to throw a party, Brad, about it. No, I'm not throwing a party, but I am. I'm thrilled. I just the seasons, and sometimes it's worked out, but it always hasn't worked out. And the satisfaction of a playoff, even if it's just four teams involved, is so makes such a difference to me, because when I watch sports, I want there to be some, you know, a definitive actual competition that determines a winner, and not something that computers and people who don't watch a lot of games have an opinion about.
Paula Bova News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Let's bounce down to Rich Rodriguez. Over the weekend, his name surfaced for the opening at Louisville. On the surface, it makes a lot of sense to me that he would look at that job. Is Louisville a better job for Rich Rod than the U of A in Tucson?
What did Strong get? He got like 3.7, almost $4 million a season, right?
So it's going to be even higher than that when it's all
coaches. So
yeah.
From a financial standpoint, maybe, but Arizona again just announced like another big donor. They're raising money like crazy. I think this is for the basketball arena. But you know, having an athletic director that he has a good relationship with, his recruiting is doing great. I don't know if there would be a strong pull for Rich Rodriguez. I mean, I don't think he's unhappy at Arizona. It just would be if it was a money thing, in my mind.
Well, and here's the thing. If you look at the U of A program, and ASU people will love this stuff, and U of A people get all bent out of shape, too bad. Here's the facts. The next time U of A gets to the Rose Bowl to be to buy a ticket, that's going to be it'll be the first time.
Right.
Okay, so we know that going in. Rich Rod's had a very good recruiting class, but he's also losing, in all likelihood, Kadeem Carey, the top running back in the nation to some people.
Right.
And he's brought in some good players, Paula, that have sat out this season. I think my point is maybe he's done about as much as he can do in the 2 years that he's been there, and he's looking around the landscape saying, you know, I've shown I can get back in the game. I've shown that I can get things done. Yeah, there's a commitment here. They've built this new facility. But facts are, I'm always going to have to beat UCLA and USC and even Arizona State for the top recruits over in Southern California. As long as I'm in the Pac-12 South, I'm not going to be able to do much more than what I've been able to accomplish.
Have we come to that point, though, Brad, in sports? And I think we probably have that. A coach can decide after 2 years that he can't really do anymore. I mean, what happened to a coach who's making a lot of money, who has a lot of confidence, feeling like he can change the landscape? You know, I know UA is a basketball school, but they got a $72 million football facility now. And believe me, I've toured that thing recently. It's unbelievable. And so, you know, I can't imagine there is that strong a pull unless, again, it's money. And someone who would have the confidence of Rodriguez, who has been successful in his past, does he really think he can change what's going on down there?
Well, and if his athletic director is getting pursued.
Right. Well,
Greg Byrne is terrific, but I think you and I have dealt with Greg Byrne enough to know that eventually Greg Byrne's going to leave. I don't see Greg Byrne as a 20-year guy down in Tucson.
Right.
And so if you know that your AD is going to get pushed and you're going to be going into the ACC, you're at Louisville, okay? You're competing against Kentucky football, which is nothing.
Right.
And the fact that he hasn't come out and said, none of this is true, it's not happening, or is he using this just to get a bump in his paycheck? I mean, there's that side of this story too, but I just think that where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a little bit more to this story than just Rich Rod's name being thrown around out there.
No, I agree, and I think he's listening, and any coach is smart to listen, and there's probably some appeal, and it's nice to get courted, and he may use that for leverage, as every coach does. But I, again, at the end of the day, I think he stays. But we'll be interested to see where this one goes, Brad.
How about Carmelo Anthony? Over the weekend, Bill Simmons, ESPN NBA analyst, who is very close with Ryan McDonough,
right,
sends a tweet out. It's very innocuous. That, yeah, Carmelo and the Clippers doesn't make as much sense as Carmelo to the Phoenix Suns. I don't want any part of Carmelo Anthony in Arizona. Not a fan at all. You?
No. Obviously, he could help them on the court, but he just does not seem like the right fit for the type of program or team they're building, the players they have on now. Maybe the Bulls, and the Knicks, I don't know, as a match. The whole Suns and Carmelo Anthony just seems like a bad fit to me, considering the direction they're headed. But when I heard that about that tweet, it made me think, because you're right about, you know, the connections and the relationship there.
What else on your mind? What are you working on?
I'm just getting back in the swing of things, Brad.
Yeah.
I'd like to jump sort of on the Suns bandwagon now in the sense of how seriously do we take them? I mean, are they just a novelty act, or do we seriously, considering some of the injuries that have happened in the West, do we take them as more of a contender now? That really intrigued me.
Yeah. Well, they've lost Bledsoe for a week, but they're on the road against teams. There's just not many good teams in the NBA.
No,
it doesn't matter.
Isn't that true?
There just aren't. I mean, there's maybe... I'm watching the Suns play, and yeah, they're ahead of what I expected. But a lot of the teams that they're playing, you look at and say, this is not very good basketball outside of about 5 to 8 teams, and even the getting down to the 8. You know, in the West, it's a little bit deeper. Over in the East, forget about it. It's just 2 teams. It's Indiana and Miami, and everybody else they could play on an even keel with.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there are decent teams, but they're all teams that the Suns can be competitive with. And that's why you look at this and wonder what exactly are the long-term possibilities for the Suns. Maybe it's more than this cute story of, you know, this is the odds of how many wins they'd have at the beginning of the season to getting into the playoffs to, what, maybe winning a round or two in the playoffs? Can we think that way yet?
Yeah, I don't want to think that way.
I know, I hear you.
I don't want to think that way. I'll let you go off that. Thanks for your time, as always.
Good talking to you, Brad.
Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Appreciate her time. Every week she jumps on the show. There are a couple things that caught my eye over the weekend on the basketball front. And we're going to talk quite a bit of BCS in the next segment. And even after in hour number two with Brad Edwards joining us, ESPN BCS guru is going to be out in Pasadena for tonight's game between Florida State and Auburn. U of A won again over the weekend, and they really were pushed against Washington. But yet they're the number one ranked team in the nation. And college basketball in our state doesn't really resonate, I don't believe. And it'll be interesting to see that as they continue to win, will the interest continue to grow? And will it grow in a way that we see with a pro team that gets on a bit of a run? The sports landscape in our state right now, it's about the Phoenix Open here in about 3 weeks. And some games that are being played. But really, to me, it's U of A is in a spot where they could do something that hadn't been done since probably Lute Olson, the year that Lute lost his wife, Bobby. And they went to the title game, and they ended up losing to Duke. They've got that good of a team when I watch them play. They sweep out the Washington schools. They play UCLA this coming Thursday. We'll get into that game quite a bit as the week progresses on. So looking forward to that. ASU basketball beat Washington State by, 66-47. So they're 12-3 in Pac-12. They play at USC this Thursday. This is be a very interesting about 8 to 10 weeks for Herb Sendek. If Herb Sendek does not get his team into postseason, I think there's going to be quite a bit of conversation about whether or not Herb Sendek should be back next season. Step aside here. We continue. On the other side, did you hear about the college basketball team that got stuck on a bus last night in the snowstorm? They did. They had to spend the night on a bus. And who was the business leader in Arizona that had the best 2013? It's a sports person. It is. And I think if you think about this a little bit, you'll be able to latch onto it. We join you Monday through Friday here for a couple of hours. Of course, our website is sports360az.com. That's sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com, doing our thing on a busy Monday. So the weather, you know, it's been just awful. And there's been this story of the school team that got stuck on the bus, Southern Illinois basketball team that got stuck on the bus. And they had to spend the night on the bus, the Salukis did. Pretty interesting. And I've got more on that story I'm going to get to in a couple of minutes. Thanks again, Kevin Harlan, with us earlier on the NFL playoffs. He'll be doing the Chargers game in Denver. The next hour, we go out to Pasadena, ESPN's BCS guru, the king of kings when it comes to college football. Brad Edwards will be with us. He is out there doing several shows today, getting ready for tonight's Florida State-Auburn BCS finale. We have our on-site reporter, Tim Hovick, with Santan Ford and the Arizona Ford dealers, yeah, they're a part of what we do, obviously. But Tim has a gift for gab, and I've noticed this through the years. So whenever there's a big event that he goes to, last year he was our Masters correspondent. Today he is on his way to Pasadena to be the BCS correspondent for Sports 360 AZ. He joins us for a couple of minutes. Where are you right now?
You know, I'm currently waiting to board my plane, get out to Pasadena. It's supposed to be 81 degrees out there. I can't wait.
Now, are you going to be on the sidelines breaking this game down for us, or where are you going to be, Tim?
You know, it's kind of interesting, these events anymore. Ford is a sponsor of the BCS, so I'm actually going with Ford. But I think they're afraid that, not that I would ever think to do it, Brad, but the guys might actually sell their tickets. So I'm not sure where I'm sitting. I don't get my ticket until I get out to the game. They don't give them to you ahead of time anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Tim Hovick with us, Santan Ford and the Arizona Ford dealers. How many big events do you go to per year, sporting events, do you think? Guess.
You know, I'd like to say not enough.
Yeah.
But most people think I probably go to quite a few. But, you know, it never gets old. They're always a great time. And it's the last BCS National Championship game, so I'm excited to be there.
Yeah, I mean, if you and I are cracking a beer, what are you thinking about tonight?
You know, tonight, I think tonight's going to be a pretty good game. I was thinking, driving over here, what a contrast to the Rose Bowl. You know, smash mouth, defensive football, Michigan State stuff, someone fourth and a foot, you know, that kind of a game. Tonight's going to be a little bit like fast break basketball, I think. I think the over-under keeps creeping up. Somebody told me it's getting towards 70 points, and they very well might go over. I mean, I could see just a real shootout tonight.
That's what I like to hear. A man that can break it down on the end of the line. That's what we need here, because I think when you have the Jameis Winston factor and you have all these big dudes, Tim, for Auburn, it's like speed of Florida State against big uglies for Auburn tonight.
You know, the interesting thing, I think back to last time Auburn was in this title game and they played, again, a fast-break team like Oregon.
Yeah.
I heard a coach say years ago that the difference in the SEC and everybody else is their defensive tackles. And it really proved to be the case that night, because they took Oregon out of a lot of what Oregon could do because they just couldn't block the guys up front. So, I mean, you know, Florida State's pretty heavily favored in the game, but at the end of the day, they're still going to have to figure out how to block an SEC defensive line, and I think that's probably going to be where the key is. If Auburn can play like they played against Oregon a few years ago, then I think, hey, it's anybody's ball game. But if Florida State gets those guys blocked, I mean, that quarterback is just off the chart.
Yeah, I know. You're a lucky man to see him in person tonight. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the time. Stay well. Safe travels. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. You guys, let's have a good one tonight.
You got it. Tim Hovick there, Santan Ford and the Arizona Ford dealers. He's like our in-Arizona correspondent when there's big events going on. We have Brad Edwards, ESPN BCS guru, that's going to check in from Pasadena here in a couple of minutes. We'll talk with him about that. The game is not really doing well for the scalpers, though. Fans of Florida State and Auburn who decided to hold out until the last minute for tickets to tonight's game, they are in luck because the prices are dropping. The resale market of tickets is now below face value of $325 for end zone seats and $385 for yard lines. It's the cheapest championship game to attend, and there's nearly 1,000 tickets to the game that were selling below face value. The median price for tonight was $799. For a big cigar, for an Auburn fan or a Florida State, just a college football fan, a guy like myself, okay, I could see dropping that for a game like tonight. It's 47% cheaper, though, than last year's game between these two squads. That is tonight, Florida State and Auburn. Back on the story on the school teams that were stuck on the bus last night. Jared, Jared Cohen has jumped in for Eric. Have we seen or heard an update in the last hour or two on Southern Illinois and what happened?
You know, Brad, I haven't.
To
be honest, you're the first I heard this story, and I've been looking to look up more information about it, but I haven't heard an update, and that's not good because,
no.
Gosh, it was supposed to be negative 22 last night in the Midwest, so that's a pretty scary thought.
Southern Illinois basketball team, they lost their game. They were blown out at Illinois State. That was just the first of two disappointing things that happened. Not only did they lose the game, but the bus carrying the players and the assistant coach got stuck in a snowstorm while returning from Normal, where Illinois State is played, to Champaign, where Southern Illinois. They would have to spend the night in their vehicle on Interstate 57 near Champaign. I love this. So the school's newspaper is the Daily Egyptian. We're in Illinois. What are you talking about? The Daily Egyptian.
What is a Saluki, though? Is that an Egyptian?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to get it. Now you've done it. I've heard this one explained before, but I'm not going to explain it well. And I'm going to have people on Twitter that are just going to hammer away on me. This is what I get for throwing a story that I don't rehearse with any of you guys, because I never rehearse anything in these shows.
Sure.
I just see stories I like. The Daily Egyptian, the student newspaper, tweeted last night at 11:43 p.m., SIU men's basketball team is being wenched out of the snow by Reynolds Towing of Champaign and intends to drive to the nearest hotel. They have plenty of gas, heat, and food, so they're just hanging out, according to the athletic director. The worst case scenario is they spend the night on the bus. Best case, they get a tow truck and they go to a hotel in Tuscola. I don't know about you, but Tuscola does not sound like Miami Beach.
No.
Doesn't sound like Newport Beach. Doesn't sound like any beach that you'd want to be a part of.
It sounds like they slept in a church last night.
The bus was off the road, was in no danger. The church? Is that what happened? They went into a church?
Yeah, I'm trying to read up on this as we speak, but it says, all the while for now hours spent, shut down by the blizzard, then on the pews of a church, another long night of a very different kind of program adrift in more ways than one.
So they ended up at a church. So this has taken on a whole life of its own.
Yeah.
Not only is Southern Illinois, they lose. It's not good when you lose. You get blown out by Illinois State. SIU's pretty good from what I remember.
They were in the tournament just a couple years ago, weren't they?
They lost 66-48 to Illinois State on Sunday afternoon. They're 4-11. They're 0-2 in the Missouri Valley Conference. The part that gets me is the head coach wasn't with the team. Hey, we got blown out, so you guys get on the bus, and I'm going to go do my thing. Turns out their head coach, he was stuck in his car. He was going out on a recruiting trip. Two other assistant coaches were also not on the bus. Who knows where they are? There's more than just snow that's adrift on this story. The Salukis. I love that. The Business Journal, Phoenix Business Journal, which does a great job, they asked a poll of what business leader had the best 2013. Are you surprised to learn that it's Michael Bidwell, according to what business leader had the best 2013, a poll and a survey? Now, I'm one of those that whenever there's polls and surveys and it's people that are being asked to vote, that I get a little, look a little sideways on that if it's just the same group of people going over and over and over. But I think you could make a very good case, actually, for Michael Bidwell, president of the Arizona Cardinals. He was the best business leader in 2013. What business leader had the best 2013? Michael Bidwell. Doug Parker, U.S. Airways, was 2. Bob Parsons of GoDaddy was 3. Governor Jan Brewer. And Robert Shelton, executive director of the Fiesta Bowl. See, I think Robert Shelton is one of those guys that doesn't get enough respect. But it doesn't surprise me that he's on the list. Now, see, here's the thing. I got people. RWP SO2 is now sending me a story. The bus carrying the team from Normal, assistant coach was riding on the team bus, head coach wasn't. They're warm, said the athletic director. The team did indeed have to wait for the highway to open, which didn't happen until after 1 a.m. A tow truck arrived, pulled the bus out of the snow. Number of players chronicled the deal on Twitter. The announcement the team finally is heading home. Tow truck just got here. This is it. Back on the road, turn up. So you saw that they ended up at a church?
A Sports Illustrated article, I thought, wrote that, but maybe not. Maybe I was reading something different on that.
You're just no help at all.
But there's a Rich Rod update in the process.
You're just no help at all.
I'm going to contribute to the program right now.
Okay, what's the Rich Rod update?
Greg Byrne just tweeted out, Coach Rodriguez is doing a great job with our football program. We talk regularly, and I feel good about him being our long-term head coach. That was 3 minutes ago from the athletic director, Greg Byrne.
Who does his own Twitter account?
He does. He handles it all.
So it's the first time, even though this has been out there for 48 hours. Read that to me again, because I got to decipher it.
Okay. Coach Rich Rod is doing a great job with our football program.
So that is not saying Rich Rodriguez is going nowhere. Keep going.
We talk regularly.
Okay. Still not saying he's not going anywhere.
And I feel good about him being our long-term head coach.
I feel good about the dinner that my wife made me the other night. But after about an hour, I didn't feel so good. So, again, if I'm to parse this out of to what he is saying on his Twitter feed, there is no Rich Rodriguez is our coach. He's going nowhere. Let's move on and focus on our 2014 recruiting class. And by the way, because it's Greg Byrne, he puts in bear down.
He didn't put bear down in
there. So how do we know it's Greg Byrne?
There's not enough. There isn't 140 characters for the bear down this time around.
Yeah, yeah. So, but we actually have something, because this story started on Saturday afternoon, and by yesterday had already made its way through quite a few circles. I even talked to an agent yesterday afternoon who said it makes all the sense in the world for Rich Rod to go to Louisville. But why do we have no Rich Rod? Here's off that tweet. My thought is I'm going to hear about Rich Rodriguez gets a new contract. That's what I'm going to get.
And I agree with you. And there's some people weighing in on this, saying that's not exactly a he is staying period slogan, but it's still something about him checking in. So, and another thing worth noting on the U of A football front, because I know we're running out of time, Nate Phillips was named first team freshman All-American today, the former Basha wide receiver.
Wow.
So,
first team All-American for that kid?
Freshman All-American.
Freshman All-American.
From the FWAA. It's a sports writers.
Yeah. When I say that kid, I mean it lovingly because I know him.
Yeah.
I've seen him play, and he's terrific.
We've watched him grow
first
up.
First team,
All-American
All-American?
Freshman. Yep.
Now that's a story.
And he wasn't even the offensive freshman of the year in the Pac-12 because they gave that to Miles Jack on both sides of the ball. Thought that was bizarre.
All right. There's a lot of college football. Jerry and I could sit here and talk all day. We haven't heard Kadeem Carey, Sam turning pro yet. I don't know why that's being what you need to have more people tell you whether you should stay or go. Come on. Greg Byrne's got to send out a tweet. Somebody send a note back to Greg that says, please clarify, is he staying forever and ever and ever till the end of the world? Is this going to be our coach next year? Just give us 6 months. Is he going to be the coach? And you're not sure if they're on a bench that Southern Illinois is on a bench in a church?
Just stand by on that.
We'll jack that segment up. That was good. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Great to be on White Mountain Radio. White Mountain Radio, good people there on a busy, busy Monday.